Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance and our friends at Straight Talk Wireless, where they don't play any games. Maybe they'll promote and sponsor Fight Island. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So, yeah, Fight Island is on. Key is upset. That's fine, Key. Bring it on. Bring it on is all I'm saying. I don't think if you catch me, I'm in trouble. But you got to catch me first. And we'll continue to discuss this. Ariel Helwani is going to join us at 11:30. I'm going to ask Ariel Helwani what he thinks about our Fight Island here. And maybe we'll expand Fight Island beyond just ESPN 710. 710 ESPN. Maybe we'll expand it. We'll talk to Ariel Helwani, UFC MMA expert, and the best in the business at covering the MMA and the fight world. So we'll talk to him at 11:30 about that. Clinton Yates going to stop by at 10:30. We'll ask him about a number of things, including the ESPN NBA rank. So I wanted to wait a day, right, to get into this, because I wanted to get into it with you and me, the audience, with Greg, with Laura, with everyone involved here, Clinton and eventually Ariel as well. So ESPN NBA rank came out. Now, I participated in this one much like I did in 2016, and I want to explain to people how the ESPN NBA rank works. It's not, hey, come up with a list 1 through 74. Basically, it's a computer algorithm that pits two players against each other, and you pick who you think is better. And then you do that as many times as you want, thousands if you want. And then that way it tabulates where players should be slotted. So I just want people to know that's how we do it. And as I watch the ESPN NBA rank unfold, there are a couple of things that stick out to me. Now, there are a couple of things that I don't have an issue with. Like, everyone is all bent out of shape about the top 10. I'm not bent out of shape about the top 10 at all. First of all, I think when you're talking about really the top 4 or 5, right? Actually, you know what? I take that back. When you talk about the top 3, I think you're splitting hairs between Jordan, LeBron, and Kareem. That's just me personally. Then the next group, 4, 5, 6. Magic, Wilt, Russell. I think you're kind of splitting hairs there too. I actually think that that grouping, you can put them in any which way you want. And then the next group of 7, 8, 9, 10, and I think even 11, personally. You can split hairs there too. And that group includes Bird, Duncan, Kobe, Shaq, and Hakeem Olajuwon, who is not in the top 10. If there's any issue I have with the ESPN NBA rank, it's that Hakeem Olajuwon, Hakeem the Dream, okay, who beat Shaq, the one guy that Shaq said gave him all sorts of fits and trouble, the one guy that Shaq said he couldn't figure out, was the player left out of the top 10. Now look, the question is, who do you take out? Do you just take out Shaq? Maybe. But Hakeem Olajuwon is the only player in NBA history to have an MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Finals MVP in the same season. Okay? Hakeem the Dream was a bad man. And by the way, the only dude winning championships when Jordan was gone. And by the way, one of those teams really didn't have a co-star. It was a collection of dudes like Sam Cassell, Kenny Smith, Robert Horry. It was the second one he won with Clyde Drexler. Which gets me to another point. Man, Clyde Drexler, he dropped like 22 spots. He's like in the 40s and 50s on this list of the top 74. Look, Clyde Drexler, I understand that the documentary probably doesn't help and recency bias doesn't help, but Clyde Drexler was a bad man too and doesn't deserve to be that far down the list. The other thing that stood out to me, in the top 74 players, no Dwight Howard? Dwight Howard, one of two players to be five-time all-defensive first team? with Dolph Schayes, who, by the way, also didn't make the list, strangely enough. Dwight Howard, who for a stretch of 5 years was easily a top three or four player in the league? I mean, come on. He was the second best player in the Eastern Conference. That wasn't even close after LeBron. I thought the fact that Dwight was omitted completely made zero sense. And here's the other thing I have. Giannis at 27, that's too high. What has Giannis accomplished? I love Giannis. I think Giannis is an extraterrestrial. But my man hasn't even been to a conference finals yet, and we're putting him at 27 all time? What in God's green earth are we doing here? And I know people are bothered about Steph versus Durant and how Steph is higher than Durant. Fine. You can be mad about that. I'm not. I mean, whatever. Steph changed the game, man, in a lot of ways. Is Durant a better individual player? Yes. But I also think the impact matters here because there's no set criteria on how this thing was ranked. But I know locally people are upset about Kobe. But like I said, man, I look at that group of Bird, Duncan, Kobe, Shaq, and I am including Akeem because I feel like it's disrespectful to not include him into that equation. And I think you're splitting hairs with the greatness of those guys. I mean, if we wanted to do it statistically, Larry Bird statistically was better than Kobe. But again, I don't know. I mean, athletically, Kobe was way better. Way better, I think, than Larry. But, you know, let's not diss Larry. Larry was incredible. Magic will tell you that. I mean, think about those two and those battles. Also, Larry Bird won three straight MVPs. Like, you can't discount that. Tim Duncan, best player on a team that won five championships, greatest power forward ever. Like, that's hard to argue his placement in the top 10. So we could argue, you know, maybe Kobe should be higher by three or four spots or lower by three, you know, not lower really, but maybe lower by one spot, whatever. You can argue those four or five guys in that range. But I don't think, like, no disrespect. Like, I'm not putting Kobe above the greatest winner of all time in Bill Russell, even though I think Bill Russell played in an era, mostly outside of Wilt, where he had an inherent physical advantage. Now, Wilt was basically Shaq before Shaq. And Magic, to me, I've always said, no disrespect to Kobe, it's my personal opinion, I think Magic is the greatest Laker of all time. Even though Magic will defer to Kobe, I'm a firm believer that Magic Johnson is a legendary winner, transcendent passer, changed the game in a way that very few have. If it wasn't for Magic and Larry, we'd still be doing the finals in tape delay. And then, of course, Kareem, just overall as a basketball player, right? When you encompass his Laker career, which is incredible, his Bucks career, right? Won a championship before he even came to the Lakers. And then just what he did in college and high school, he might be number one. Like, I can make the case that Kareem is number one. I don't think I can make the case LeBron is number one. I can make the case LeBron is two or three. And Michael or Kareem, to me, is the battle for number one. But I know people get fired up about these lists, so we'll have at it at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Another thing I wanted to get into was, remember the other day I was telling you about reading the room? So I don't have the audio because the audio has now been protected. But Blake Snell, AL Cy Young Award winner, was on Twitch and said, quote, "It's just not worth it to play with a reduced salary, especially because of the risk of contracting the coronavirus." He basically railed against MLB's reported proposal of a 50-50 revenue split. And he said, quote, you got to understand, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. I'm not disputing that part of it. It's a shorter season, less pay. Well, that part is just the reality, though. Like, that's my issue. If he doesn't want to play, like I said about Clayton Kershaw and Mike Trout, you don't have to play. But the reality is, if you're only going to play 82 games, like, I understand, even though the owners could certainly absorb the money more. I'm not disputing that part of it. Billionaires can absorb it more than millionaires. But if you're only going to play half the season, we're going to have to do some concessions here. So then Blake also adds in technically, then you got to take away another 33% I got to give to the government. I may be only taking 25% of my salary. I mean, listen, we're not, everybody's paying taxes still. Like, that's not changing. But I get Blake. If you're bothered because you feel like you're putting yourself at risk and you don't want to play, I am never going to tell someone, Blake Snell, don't play if you feel like you're at risk. Don't play. But you're arguing about the finances when nobody wants to hear that right now. Have this conversation with your player rep. Have this conversation with Tony Clark, who's the boss of the Major League Baseball Players Association. Have the conversation with Manfred. Have the conversation with your owner in Tampa Bay. Doing this out loud isn't going to make things better. It's not. And also, when you're kind of fiddling with the math, man, everybody's paying taxes. And by the way, if people are being furloughed, people are losing their jobs, 30 million unemployed. Like, again, just read the room. If you would have just stopped that, I don't want to take the risk because of the health and the safety part of it, nobody would have made a big deal about this. But constantly talking about the money, it's just, it's not going to endear yourself to anybody. You're just going to create a bigger mess for you, I think. I'm just saying this because I know how people are going to react to it. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Bergman, where are you on the NBA rank? Are you upset about it?
No, I'm not upset about it. I mean, I do think that as a gigantic Kobe stan, I would have liked to have seen Kobe higher. I think the only thing that I have an issue with is the fact that Tim Duncan is ahead of Kobe, which I don't agree
why?
With.
Why are you? I don't understand why you're mad about that. He was the lead. He was basically the lead man for four out of the five titles.
Yeah, well, he was, and so was.
And he's the greatest Kobe power forward ever.
He is the greatest power. Well, are you saying that over Karl Malone?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's a difference of opinion there. But either way, I just think that Kobe was all around just a better player. Was more dynamic of a player, can do more things.
No, he was. There's the word you're using. Dynamic. Just because a big man isn't flashy doesn't mean he's not a better player.
No. I'm just – the things that Kobe could do was – there was more things that Kobe could do than Tim Duncan could. He was more athletic. He could shoot deep. He could shoot mid-range. He could get to the basket. He could dunk. He could do all the things that – I mean, he had post-up
moves. But results also matter here. He was the leading man for four out of the five championships.
Yeah, and you can argue that Shaq was the leading man for three of them, but still,
correct.
Kobe was still. I personally just think that Kobe should have been ahead of Tim Duncan. But also, this is splitting hairs, like you were talking about before. I don't have a problem with the top 10 in general. I just think that I would have liked to.
Oh, I do. I think that I would have probably put Hakeem in over Shaq if I had to really think about it. Hakeem Olajuwon was a beast, man.
No, he absolutely was, and you can see. But who are you taking out of that? I'm not taking Shaq out.
I just said I would probably take Shaq out.
Yeah, I wouldn't take Shaq out. I mean, Shaq, you're talking about changing the game. Shaq was the most dominant big man, and he changed the game.
And Hakeem said, and Shaq said the one player he couldn't get through was Hakeem. Like, right. Never. Hakeem owned him.
Yeah, I mean, that was mostly at the beginning of his career. It did.
No, he didn't say that just at the beginning. He said that pretty much through the entirety of the time that they were playing together or against each other.
Changing the game, it's like you've talked about with so many different players. Like, that's the same reason why I think that Steph is in the right spot ahead of Durant, because Steph changed the game of basketball to being a three-point shooting game, whereas Durant, as great as he is and as amazing as he is, he didn't change how basketball is played. So
Laura,
that's the same thing. Why they're good.
Laura, how do you feel about another baseball player yapping about money right now?
I'm not for it. And the calls are mad. They're like, dude, we are losing jobs. We are trying to pay bills and you're complaining about millions of dollars. Like, no, I'm not for it. I do think that people should be paid what they're worth. But in this situation right now where we are, I think it's so tacky for them to be speaking out about that publicly.
Yeah, just publicly doesn't make sense. All right, we'll open it up to the phones on the NBA rank and on Blake Snell complaining about having to pay taxes like the rest of us. and that he's going to play half the games. He's only going to get paid half the money. I just think that it just comes across a little tone deaf. Like, that's just me. 877-710-ESPN. We'll open it up to you in a second. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Clint Yates going to join us in a couple of minutes. He will join us in 15 minutes. Ariel Helwani at 11:30. We will talk to them all about the ESPN NBA rank, Fight Island. Obviously, with Ariel, we'll get into the UFC a little bit and this Mike Tyson thing because there's a new twist to that. In a couple of minutes, I've got a new twist, speaking of twist, to a potential return for the NBA. We'll have that in just a second. Something that was going on online yesterday that I thought was interesting before I get to the calls here. So there was a thing trending yesterday, 90s sports moment that you wish you could have live tweeted. And the one I used was, and I asked, I'm like, does this count? And everyone said, yes. Was the OJ car chase. Like, could you imagine live tweeting that? Like, imagine if that happened in the social media era. You know, June 17th or June 14th, 1994. I have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure it, I know it was 1994. I know it was June, but I'm pretty sure it was either June 14th or June 17th. So I that to me is by far the one I would have loved to have live tweeted. I mean, think about that. Like, with all the people that were surrounding the highways, right, as OJ was driving around, the helicopter, the cars, the cops, the call with Al Cowlings being patched in, like all those things, while also the NBA Finals is going on, split screen on NBC, because that's what I was watching at that particular time. It was the Rockets and the Knicks, and all this is happening. Like, it would have been an incredible night to live tweet that particular night, just because of that, just because of everything that was going on. Like, I don't know if anyone could top that one. Bergman, what do you think?
I don't think you can top them. Could you imagine? There's no way that he goes free if it was in the age of Twitter, right? If you're live tweeting this happening and then he goes to court, there's no way he gets off free.
You're saying because of, no, man, I don't agree with that. What does that have to do with it? Because I don't think that has anything to do with all the evidence and the way the evidence played out and the way that the trial played out.
I just think the public perception of all of it with what is happening and seeing it and how big the story would have even probably been even larger than it already was, even though it was gigantic.
I think it would have been maybe tougher to get a jury pool, but I don't necessarily think it would have been that. But anyway, what would you have gone with?
Well, I was, when you first talked to me about it, I thought I was thinking of sports. So I would have live tweeted Tyus Edney in 1995 going sideline to sideline.
Right, but it's got
to
be like an event. Like, it's not, I mean, just like it.
Well, I was thinking
sports. Are you talking about the game? Like the game?
No, the game.
Like,
yeah,
but you're talking about a singular moment. Like, Tyus Edney hitting the shot is great, but how many tweets are you going to fire off about Tyus Edney hitting the shot?
No, I would have like 1,000.
I mean, but I guess.
No, I know, but if you're thinking, that's why I was thinking sports originally, so now I have to change the
right,
way
but it's
I'm thinking
you could
it.
Think of a game, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be a singular moment is fine, but there's only so many singular moment tweets you're gonna fire off, you know?
I mean, then a game like, okay, it was a bad one for me, but 1998 against the Miami Hurricanes where Edgerrin James ran all over UCLA.
Right, you probably would have been very upset
mind.
That day. Yeah,
yes,
300 yards he got on the ground that day.
We don't need to repeat that.
Laura, what is it? It doesn't have to be sports, Laura. At this point in the 90s, is there anything in the 90s that you just were like, you were captivated by that you wish social media would have been around for?
I have the June 28, 1987, Mike Tyson when he bites Evander's ear off.
Oh, man, that is a great
That's
one.
That's the one that I
See,
have.
See, Bergman, now that entire fight was worth live tweeting. Laura knows how to play this game.
I won, Greg.
I'm taking the L.
Oh, hold on. I have it.
Oh, Bergman's the king of L's at that stage.
Yeah.
Well, that's a new one.
That is a very good one. That is a good one. So hit us up with those two, 877-710-ESPN. Let me grab a couple calls here. Miko's in Compton. What's up, Miko?
Hey, what's going on with it, George? Hey, GB is right. Kobe does deserve to be higher, and Shaq deserves to be over Hakeem because of the three-peat and three finals MVP in a row. Him and Jordan did it twice. Shaq did it once. Them the only two guys to do it in NBA history. So Shaq got to be in there over Hakeem because he got the three-peat MVP and championships. As far as Kobe, though, GB, Kobe is as good as LeBron. But when it comes to these great players and splitting hairs, Kobe and Steph got to get a knock because they daddy played. Just imagine if you a little Steph Curry get to go against Muggsy Bogues as a little kid. It ain't like he playing against a regular NBA player, a 6'9 guy playing a little kid. Muggsy just as little as him. He get to go against a real NBA little kid and learn all. Do you know how invaluable that was to Steph Curry to be able to play against Muggsy Bogues, a real
That's
little
a great
dude?
Point. That so is a great that, point.
But
man.
The list was pretty good, though, George. You and GB keep up the good work.
Thank you, Miko. Appreciate it. That is interesting. That's true. I mean, Muggsy Bogues had great handle back in the day, and Steph has one of the best handles we've ever seen. So it's like, it is an excellent point. Let's go to Ja'Cory in Santa Ana. What's up, Ja'Cory?
Hello.
Hello, Ja'Cory. What's up?
Okay, cool. I appreciate you having me on the show. I wanted to say,
yes, sir.
So my one, two, and three is going to go Jordan, Kareem, and Bill Russell. And okay. I wanted to make a point on why I didn't have LeBron as number two. One point is that he got six L's. You know what I mean? More L's than he does have wins. Another thing is he kind of quit. He kind of quit against Dallas. You know what I mean? And another thing is he won with the cats in Miami. He won with the cats in Cleveland. But he never really took it when he didn't have all the help. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone, Ja'Cory. Thank you for the call, man. Appreciate you. Stay safe. I don't think anyone wins alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a lot of those, right? Like, Akeem, I mentioned, had that one where he didn't have, like a co-star. I guess if you go back in the day, like in the 70s, you got, like, Rick Barry won one without, like, a big co-star. And Dennis Johnson in the Seattle Supersonics with Lenny Wilkins as the head coach that won without necessarily, like, another star-type player. But
what about Dirk Nowitzki?
Dirk Nowitzki, I mean, man, Jason Kidd was still really good at that stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he may not have been prime Jason Kidd, but he wasn't that far off prime Jason Kidd. But yeah, I guess maybe Dirk, I don't know. But Jason Kidd was really damn good at that time, still. I mean, the Pistons group, but I mean, now when we look back at that Pistons group, they were a lot better than we gave them credit for at that time. You know, Chauncey is a borderline. I mean, I think he's a Hall of Famer, but you know, Ben Wallace is a borderline Hall of Famer. There are a number of guys on that roster that were really damn good. Oscar in the LBC, what's up, Oscar?
Hey, George.
What's up?
Hey, I want to make Kobe should be at least six and Shaq seven. That will be one of my takes. Well, I don't even know. But the other thing about baseball, I'm so pissed. Those two guys complaining about, we gotta play less. For money, no. It should be Griffin. They should be playing baseball, and you know these people play like you know other like us people working. Like, you know, I work less than hours, but man, I gotta make an end for where I live at. So it's really hard, and these people making complaints about I'm gonna lose a lot of money. Like, should be shameful, like man.
Well, and the weirdest part was when he's sitting there talking about, well, you know, it's 33% I got to give up in taxes. Dog, that's everybody got to give up taxes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like even though, like, Mark Teixeira was saying, like, you know, you got to do what you got to do to play. Like, you know, you can't just,
yeah. I think the Teixeira thing goes a little too far the other way because he's saying play for pennies on the dollar. Like, that's silly, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to completely, like, remove your leverage. Like, it's still a negotiation. So I think Teixeira went a little too far the other direction, Oscar, and thank you for the call and stay safe. But, look, if you're only going to play half the games, I could understand why the owners will only want to pay you half for half the games. Like, I could see why that is an issue. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that it's not the time to have those conversations in public. That's just what I would say ultimately about it. Let me go to Francisco in Oxnard. Francisco!
Hey, what's going on?
Hey!
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Blakes now. I just want to know, how much is he making?
Because I'll
He's making
$7 million.
$7 million.
I'll play for that. Yeah. I mean, I'll play for that. I mean, I'd rather do that than drive Amazon trucks.
Yeah, listen, I don't think there's any question that in when you put it in context, Francisco, and thank you for the call and stay safe, that it's why I don't think you should have these conversations in public. And look, I said it the other day when we were talking about it. At ESPN, there are a lot of people that have taken pay cuts to help the people who need to be employed, right? Like, that was a public thing. Like, that was put out there. Like, that's not, I'm not saying anything out of turn. At this station, people were affected on the talent side. The talent has also sacrificed other things to help the rank and file, both at the company and this station. Because that's what you try to do. You try to help each other. You know what I'm saying? And if you're going to have arguments about money, you probably should do it in private and not in public on Twitch where everybody can see it. We'll take more of your calls on the other side. Actually, no, let me grab one more, and then we can sneak in. Let me grab Primo in South Central. Primo, what's up, man? Long time.
Jorge, how are you doing, man?
Muy bien.
Let me say this, man. I thought about all that, about ranking the players. And of course, Wilt may be the greatest athlete of any sport. Kareem hit more points. Kobe and Michael Jordan and Magic did everything. But getting away from all that, I wrote it down on paper. If you put Oscar Robertson at his size and strength, Oscar is as mean as Kobe and Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Only he's stronger. No one on one, nobody will beat Oscar Robertson.
Well, you know what? It's funny, Primo. You know what's funny is that the guy, you know, this never gets compared to. But the three guys I think that are closest in girth and style and stuff, LeBron, Magic, and Oscar. Those three guys are very comparable.
That's right. And Oscar, man, I watched Oscar with that one-handed shot. I was very, very young. But he did anything he wanted to on anybody.
Yeah. Listen, I've seen the videos, man. Primo, thank you for the call. Stay safe. Let me sneak in Jim before we get to Clint Yates. What's up, Jim?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to defend Duncan. Yeah, I think you and me are the only ones who can see Duncan above those two guys, Kobe and Shaq. First of all, this is for Greg. Some quick facts. Duncan never played in a losing season. Duncan played in all in his 19 years. He had 18 out of the 19 or 51 seasons, except for the strike-shortened season. He's a three-time MVP Finals, two-time MVP Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, also 15-year All-Star, and one of only three players to have over 1,000 wins in his NBA history, which is the other two are Kareem.
Yeah, Jim, you're right. His resume doesn't get enough respect. I appreciate it. We got to run. Stay safe. All right, Clint Yates joins us in 3 minutes. We'll talk to him about all these things, including... I want to get his read on the Blake Snell stuff specifically. We'll get to the NBA rank with him, the 90 sports moment, and a new twist in a potential return for the NBA. We'll tell you what that's about in 3 minutes. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Happy birthday, George Lucas. I actually just got my 5-year-old into wanting to watch Star Wars. She likes BB-8. I think I've told you guys this before. She thinks BB-8 is the protagonist of the last three movies. I mean, that's what happens when you're a 5-year-old. But, you know, I got her to start watching the first few movies, too, now. I've now gotten her to watch episode 1 and 2, all to my wife's chagrin, because she thinks Star Wars is nerd stuff. And I'm like, well, you know what? Deal with it. So Clint Yates joins us now here. Are you a Star Wars person?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I haven't asked you this before. So
who was fighting lightsabers on television on OTL with Field Yates?
That is right.
Oh, that was me.
Sorry.
Correct.
Did forget.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know. I used to volunteer at the Smithsonian Star Wars exhibit when I was in high school. I've written numerous things. I see the movies early, George.
Oh, okay.
I'm not big of a Star Wars guy. Oh, yeah.
Fancy. Fancy.
Saying it, you know, it is what it is. Force fancy. With your boy.
Clint Yates. I am great. And I've got a number of things that I want to get into with you. So I'm glad that you're here today. But real quick, I want to let people know if you miss any one of our interviews, including the Woj interview yesterday that we had, or Ramona yesterday, check out the Interview on Demand section of the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One and a member FDIC. So Clinton Yates is giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So before we get into some fun stuff, the NBA rank is out. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to people about the top 10. I don't have an issue with the top 10. I do think that you can make the case that Akeem and Oscar could be in the top 10, and I wouldn't fight you on any of that. I look at it this way. The top three for me, you can kind of move them around, I guess. They're somewhat interchangeable. Same with kind of 4, 5, and 6 for me. And same with 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, right, with the Oscar and Akeem additions. I think you're kind of splitting hairs with those particular groupings. Where are you on all that stuff?
Here's the thing about the top 10 is that the number 10 position, as you said, is easily the most debatable simply because it sort of cuts off the list. But the thing is this, Shaquille O'Neal was not only dominant in effect, he was dominant in method. And that's the reason why it's hard to get people out of this, because he was so big, he was so large, that there was just nothing, you know, when you saw him for the first time, you just thought, oh my God, I don't know what to do with this human being. And on top of that, he was fantastically effective. There have been a lot of big sticks in the history of the NBA. None of them were Shaquille O'Neal. So it's right. Not just the fact that he ended up where he was, it was how he did it. He was dominant over not just humans, but equipment too. They had to change the rules for how you have baskets in NBA arenas because of this guy. That, I know it sounds ridiculous, but that is a serious thing. It's just it's not just what happened, it's the way he played as well.
Yeah, look, if I had to take one of them out, to your point, 10 is probably the spot that I would take Shaq out, maybe put in Akeem or even Oscar. But mm-hmm. Again, I you made a great case as to why he deserves to be in there. To me, some of the other stuff as I look around that I thought was silly was I thought Giannis was way too high at 27. Like, he's a freak. He's an extraterrestrial. But to make him the 27th best player in the history of the sport already, I felt was silly considering he's never even made a conference finals.
That was crazy. And I heard you talking about that earlier in the show. And I think that there's if you want to talk about listeners out there, recency bias, that's exactly what it is. Precisely. If Giannis, because there's no way to directly say that he's been that impactful even on the game. Never mind what he's won or what he hasn't. But yeah. You mentioned Steph Curry earlier. Let me explain something to you all who don't know this. There is one human in the history of the NBA who has won the MVP unanimously. It's Steph Curry.
Correct.
Okay, so don't forget about that. Not only did he revolutionize the game, he's literally got the hardware to prove it. So, for me, it's a lock that he, when people talk about the impact of the game, it's not just the threes. It's not just the swag. He's literally got an award, and he won it in a way that nobody else ever has, and I doubt probably ever will.
And I think recency bias plays a role here with Clyde dropping like 20-something spots from the last time we did this in 2016. And Dwight not even being there at all. Like, Clyde Drexler dropping 20-something spots is damage from the documentary, I think. And yes. Dwight not being in at all seems excessive to me.
We had a conversation about this a couple years back in terms of, like, is Dwight Howard a Hall of Famer? And I always found that to be an interesting discussion. I happen to think, and I said this next Lakers season could determine whether or not he becomes a Hall of Famer in a lot of people's minds.
Oh,
Dwight
really?
Howard
think he's in automatically.
I know that. Yeah. I said not necessarily in mind. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. Hall of Fame guy. But I Hall of Fame, in certain sports, any other sport not named basketball, he probably doesn't get in. Basketball, he definitely gets in.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so have you seen the Blake Snell story?
Oh, yeah. I've seen you siding with billionaires too, George.
Yeah.
Just so you know where I'm at on this.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. But here's the thing. It's less about siding with billionaires. It's more about Come on, man. Like, you got to understand the climate you're in. To make these comments publicly seem ridiculous. Like, you, it's, I had the same issue with Tony Clark. Like, when Tony Clark went out there publicly talking about money, like, you took the bait, dude. Like, this is what they wanted you to do. And now public opinion is not on your side.
Let me read you a story from a sentence from Jeff Passan's latest story. Salaries do not grow commensurate with revenue gains. So now, in a year in which the game is struggling, it's necessary for the players to share in the losses. That's not how it works. That's what it comes down to for me, is that people, it's very easy when you feel that you connect to the player as a fan and as a person. You talk about driving Amazon trucks or delivering pizzas, you know what I mean, or flipping ramen noodles, whatever it may be. It's very easy to feel that you can relate to the player, and therefore what the player does is more like the mindset you might have. However, you're not dealing with billionaire owners who are the greedy ones, implying that a 50-50 split is fair when they're not even playing the baseball. That's what the difference is here, is that it's very easy to look at that and say, oh, well, I would do that for $7 million a year because I'm out here shoveling crap for $3 an hour.
Sure.
I understand that. But the point is, if they said, well, you got to shovel the same crap and your risk is much higher and you're doing it for a dollar an hour, you'd be like, you can shove that. That's what I'm saying here, is that I understand. Blake Snell does not sound good to the everyman. However, you're not dealing with what Blake Snell is dealing with. And also, there's this. The health thing isn't just about this season. It's about the fact that COVID-19 could affect his ability to make money down the line as well, because it is a virus that stays in your body and affects you from a health standpoint. I get it. It doesn't look good, but he's not wrong in this sense. Billionaires versus millionaires. I'm siding against billionaires every time.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that. My thing is this, and it's where it's also part of what I said, which is, look, if you would have just stopped at, I don't feel safe, end of story. Like that, like publicly, that's all you should be saying right now.
Sure, but George, because there's a labor agreement coming up here. You can't have something that affects them going on for 10 more years just because one, you know, season gets lopped off. That's the problem, is that the discussion around this is not just about coming back from baseball. It's about what they do when they're renegotiating with the owners overall. So it's a lot messier than just Blake Snell presents on his Twitch. By the by, I had no idea Blake Snell grew up around that many black folks. Did you hear him code switching the way he talked? Like, I don't know if you noticed that, but my man clearly has a bunch of black friends. I'm here for it. Blake Snell, I'm a big fan of his.
All right, let's finish that off on the other side. Also, I want to get into the 90s sports moment that you would love to live tweet, okay? We had that discussion earlier, too. Plus, there is a new twist, potentially, for a return for the NBA, and NFL players may be willing to relocate to play during COVID-19. That and Fight Island, all with Clinton Yates in 2.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget, tonight at 9 o'clock on Twitch, on Twitter, MLB The Show, Mason, Ireland, and myself, our teams will be playing the simulated games, our all-time Dodger teams. It'll happen tonight on Twitch, Twitter, and where else, Bergman?
It's going to be on Facebook, or no, sorry, on YouTube as well.
Okay, there you go. So find it on the ESPN Los Angeles social media accounts. You can do that there. Clint Yates with us here. Don't forget to tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls Dynasty. Series continues Sunday with the finales at 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN Television. Listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself immediately following the broadcast on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Sincoro Tequila, and Coors Light. And our buddy Clint Yates will be live tweeting for the undefeated or from the undefeated account, Twitter?
From the undefeated account for the undefeated. Same difference at that point. But your boy's going to be on the sticks for The Last Dance, final two episodes, so get ready.
Sweet. And then, of course, tune into the ESPN Daily podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. So real quick, the thing on Blake Snell, just to wrap that up, because I want to get to a number of different things with you here. The thing that he lost me on was like when he starts talking taxes, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, dog, we're all paying taxes. You know what I mean? Like
taxes are, I mean, I'm not going to get into breakdowns of, you know, tax brackets, but taxes are not where you want to go with that. I think his point is that it's not as much money as you think, even though it is way more money than you could imagine.
Right. Yes. Yes. So anyway, let's move forward here. So Jaylen Brown, was on CNN yesterday of the Boston Celtics, and he believes that the NBA, based on what he's heard, will jump right into the playoffs, which zigs to everything everyone has been zagging about trying to finish some regular season here and actually have like some warm-up games. That's what I've wanted the whole time, Clinton. Like, I'm okay with training camp. Everyone's on an equal playing field. And if you want to play some scrimmages against other teams, kind of like the NFL does during training camp, if we're going to play in this bubble, then so be it. Here's another step I would take, and I tweeted this out yesterday, and I was talking to Ramona about it, and I know that this is a bigger ask of people involved, but if we're worried about positive tests in the NBA and the campus bubble atmosphere that Adam Silver is trying to sell, why don't we just do this right from the get-go and not half-ass it and make everyone go for training camp to the bubble campus atmosphere in Disney World or wherever? And that way, if everyone's tested right out of the gate and we have some positive tests, guys are missing parts of training camp and not necessarily games. Where are you on all of this stuff?
I agree with you on that last part. And when we talked about this, we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, but it all comes down to what is the NBA's actual goal? Is your goal to finish the season, or is your goal to just get the season started back? Because if you find yourself in a situation where you have to forget about just if a couple people test positive, George, what if you have to shut it down?
Correct.
Or what if you're in a situation where you only have a limited amount of time to play a certain amount of games? You want to waste those on exhibition games or regular season games? To me, it's just the most efficient use of your time and your space to jump right into the playoffs if your goal is to actually finish the season. Of course, in an ideal world, everything gets fixed, everything gets cleaned, and everything is sanitized to the point where you can just go on. But we wouldn't be quarantining to begin with in terms of the resort situation if that were the case. If you've got a time amount, if you've got a limited amount of time in which you don't know what's going to happen, to me, if your goal is to end the season, you absolutely get to the playoffs simply because that's what you're there for. You're not there to see how people finish through the 7 through, you know, the 5 through 8 rankings in the Western Conference. Nobody cares about that. People want to see them play for what matters, and that is the playoffs and the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Yeah, and I just think, like, getting them there early, yes, it's an ask. You could start maybe your training camps in your facilities, but maybe the last 2 weeks before we get going, just have it there. And at least you're only asking people to spend another 2 weeks. And the other part about getting into the playoffs is you're eliminating a lot of the pool, right? Like, you're eliminating over half of the teams, so you're decreasing the chances of positive tests in a number of ways.
Right. I don't want to see Hawks Magic, you know what I'm saying, be the game that tears down the rest of the playoff.
Correct.
Because God knows what happened. I mean, that just doesn't even make sense. You've got to prioritize the best part of your product at this point if you're Adam Silver, especially considering you'd probably be the only sport coming back in season. That is a serious factor here. You've got to finish something. You're not thinking about what to do to start it. You want to wrap it up? Wrap it up the best way you know how and get the heck out of there and figure it out for the next season because the clock is definitely ticking.
Okay, 90s sports moment you wish you could live tweet. Mine was the OJ car chase.
This isn't even a question that it's the OJ car chase. I don't even understand how any other situation could be the case. There's a whole 30 for 30 about that day alone.
Right. Yes.
And the reason why that day alone matters is because of the car chase. I mean, think about locally in LA, what that was like. And if you remember from Ezra Edelman, easy for me to say, he's a friend of mine too, his film, the funniest part about that whole thing was that people, I mean, they were taking the car pursuit bit to the 10th power, showing up along the side of the road on TV. Can you imagine following yes. somebody who decided to go do that on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't even think of a scenario that was similar because you'd be following the people involved. You'd be following the people watching. You'd have all the screen caps, all the live stream. I mean, come on. That moment in some ways was almost made for Twitter. I have half a brain. I would almost love to watch that and still let people retweet it and watch it on Twitter just to see what would turn out.
Mike Pouncey did a Zoom conference call yesterday, and he was asked about the situation here in California and was asked if he and his teammates would be willing to relocate if they had to play the NFL season if California continues to extend their stay-at-home ruling at this particular point. Let's hear what Mike Pouncey, Chargers center, had to say.
All of us are dealing, you know, with change throughout these tough times, and I think this is something that everybody in the world has to adjust to, not just us as football players. So we're all professionals whenever it comes to us having to be able to work and go and be able to feed our families. So if we had to go move to a different state or a different city to be able to, you know, get back to work and be able to help feed our families. And I'm sure a lot of guys and most of the guys would be for it.
Okay, so he wasn't the only one that was asked that question. Cooper Kupp was on SportsCenter yesterday and was asked the same question. Here's what Cooper Kupp had to say.
We're all dealing with this and learning more and more each and every day. And I think it seems like week by week things change. And obviously, guys, we want to be safe. We understand just the problem that this is and the people that are suffering through this. And if there's a way to safely be able to bring football to households, be able to do something that would be some kind of sense of normalcy for people, I think if there's a way to safely do that, you know, the guys are going to be all on board for it.
What do you think, Clinton?
I think that unlike Blake Snell, when you don't have a guaranteed contract, you daggone sure are going to move state to state in order to make your money to do what you're going to do. I think that's fair. You know, I mean, look, for me, that actually matters. Again, the disposability of NFL players is higher than it is in every single other league. I would be stunned if an NFL player had the stones to say, I ain't going nowhere to play football. It's a week-to-week game. You can get cut, injured, hurt at any given time. NFL players are the people I would most expect to be on the front lines of those who are going to come back first in order to play, because their positions are easily the most tenuous in all of the four major professional sports in the U.S. It's that simple. It comes down to the money.
Yeah. To your point, 60% of the league is on minimum contracts. So, yes, I agree with you. Last thing before we let you go. Fight Island is happening, according to Daniel Cormier. We're going to have Ariel Helwani on at 11:30. But if you were going to pick a person to fight on Fight Island from this radio station, who would you pick that you think you could absolutely beat, no questions asked, and who would be the person you'd want to stay away from?
Bergman, I would crush with two simple blows to the head. Very easily.
Bergman is also... you're too thin. You're too thin. You're too skinny.
I was born and raised in D.C. in the 80s and 90s. I know how to fight, dog.
Clinton,
I understand that.
Here's about Bergman. He's got like postal worker crazy stuff, I think.
That's true. Bergman, you know what? Actually, I might rescind that. In a UFC scenario, Bergman might not be the guy. Straight up boxing? Perhaps.
Yes.
You'd
frustrate
Funches,
him.
Funches, I think I could take, now that I think about it.
Funches?
I could probably take him. Okay.
Who are you avoiding?
Who am I avoiding? Ooh. I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like Mace has some moves up his sleeve.
What?
Listen to me. He seems like the kind of guy that knows how to do one thing, which is like armbar you the hell out of nowhere. Like, he doesn't have 9 moves, but if he catches you in that one, you're finished. You know what
I'm
saying? That's the vibe I get from him in terms of like, oh yeah, kind of a rope it up. Oh, guess what? Armbar. You want me to break your neck? You want me to break your arm? We can do that. I'm not gonna go ground the ground. He's not gonna do
You
crazy
just
stuff.
Made Mason Steven Seagal.
That's a huge upset. That's what I'm saying. That one calm move that all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I've been doing all this nonsense. He caught me. But quickly, I just want to say, here's the deal with Fight Island. Dana White better be careful what he wishes for. Because if that Fight Island product becomes too cool, everybody's going to want to see every fight on Fight Island just because it's so ridiculous as a concept, and they're going to be able to create programming around that alone. If me, Fight Island becomes that much doper, take me to Fight Island when it's all figures out. I want to see more Fight Island. That sounds like a cooler show than any of this other stuff, than some fight in Milwaukee. No, thank you. Take me to this other... you know, fabulous locale. Give me all the goofiness that goes with that. That could be cool. Be
careful. Clinton, you're the best, buddy. Thanks for hanging out.
Do my best. See you guys soon.
All right, see ya. Coming up next, Eric Dickerson is still upset. We'll tell you what he's saying, the latest on that, in just a moment. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes.